Good morning, everyone. Imbeids are completely dependent upon their silk for survival. In these photos, you can see some examples of the different forms their silk can take. This is an example here, where's my cursor, of a very messy type of webbing silk. Here we have a portal-like structure followed by tubing and finally a pad of silk next to a protective mother and her eggs. When studying silk spinning behavior, it is clear that one size does not fit all. And in our study, we seek to quantify and understand the diversification of silk spinning behavior in the order Embioptera. Embiids are also known as web spinners because they spin silk. Below is a video of a female repairing her silk after we ripped it in the lab to cover her eggs up. Embiids spin silk by placing their four tarsi onto the substrate, releasing the silk out of silk ejectors, and pulling back up, as you can see her just doing now. Silk serves several functions for embiids. It protects them both from biotic factors, such as predation, and abiotic factors. In fact, silk is water resistant to some degree. They also use it to expand when foraging to protect themselves. They feed on lichens and algae. Females are the focus of our study, and they are neotenous in that they retain their juvenile wingless form into sexual maturity. Males are winged, as you can see here, and they also spin, but they're not ideal study subjects because of their short lifespan. In general, insects exhibit a high degree of morphological diversity within orders. However, in Embioptera, we see a remarkable amount of morphological uniformity within the order. Below are five individual females of five different families, and by body shape alone, it is very difficult to distinguish them. Their elongate, flexible, soft bodies are adapted for movement in their silk-tight tubing. In addition to a high degree of morphological uniformity, embiids do vary. They can vary in where they live. Their habitats range from the humid tropics to dry Mediterranean. As well, they have adapted to live in different locations within their environments or microhabitats. On the left, you can see three such microhabitats that we study: the subterranean, leaf litter, and arboreal microhabitats. For the purpose of this presentation, I'd like to group these into two groups, the first being the arboreal. This will be represented in blue, and the second will be a concealed group, and this includes both the leaf litter and the subterranean microhabitats, and will be shown in orange. We ask whether their spinning behavior, the style of their spinning, is shaped by these different microhabitats. Embiids also vary in the type of silk structures they produce. Even in a common garden lab experiment where they live in identical glass jars, they still produce different structures. These photos are from our lab. So the first question we ask is if embiids have diversified in their stepping patterns. And secondly, if there was a relationship between these microhabitats and their spinning style. This is a table displaying our hypotheses on the left and subsequent predictions on top. If spinning style does indeed vary with their environment, their microhabitat that is, we predict that the more exposed arboreal embiids will exhibit a higher degree of spinning diversity in their patterns. This is a repertoire, as we like to call it. We also offer this table actually came out incorrectly, I apologize. The prediction I just gave is supposed to help us solve that first hypothesis on top. So they're switched up somehow, I apologize for that. But our alternative hypothesis is that relatedness may shape the way embiids spin. And we may see a species-specific type choreography. To observe spinning behavior, individual embiids are placed in a burrow-like apparatus. It's made from a notch in a piece of wood, and its shape allows for our largest embeds to move freely and rotate as they need to, but it also encourages the smallest ones to spin due to the proximity of the walls around them. Each individual is recorded for 1 hour with our video camera, and then we play it back on a TV at a slower pace so that we're able to catch the details. We use the Observer program to record two types of data. We record their spinning steps, the frequency of them, and also the transitions, the probability that a transition will happen between two stepping positions. Here is a typical embed spinning. On the left are kinematic diagrams that summarize the spinning data. These circles are located in the positions where the embeds put their feet as they spin. The size of these circles indicate the proportion of total steps taken at that location. We have a dorsal view and a ventral view because as an embed spins, as you can see this one doing here, she's facing us with her dorsal side, but she may flip over and face us ventrally as well. So we record these as different data points. The final type of data that we collect are the probability of a transition between two positions. For example, if an embed did 100 steps, she might spin all on one side and then the other, or she might alternate between the two. So a transition is a very important way to understand their style, not just where they're putting their feet. We began with 70 different transitions, and using Primary E software, we were able to narrow it down to a subset of 32 transitions that allowed us to see the more diagnostic of those transitions. Overall, we used 8 species in this study, with 5 individuals approximately used in each one. 2 families were represented. Family Oligotomidae, which was the emphasis of our study. We used 2 species, each of 3 genera. And as a comparison group, we used Family Australambiidae, and we had 2 species from that. Here is a diagram of our statistical procedure, but I don't have time for that today. If there are questions at the end, I'd be happy to answer them. This was an ordination we created using those 32 diagnostic transitions, and this was created using non-metric multidimensional scaling. I'd like to remind you that the individuals in blue are the arboreal embeds, and those seen in orange are the concealed leaf litter or subterranean embeds. The letters indicate their abbreviations for the species names, and the lines surrounding the individuals represent the degree of similarity between stepping transitions. Overall, our data show that there seems to be support for this idea that their microhabitat influences a spinning style. Certain characteristics exist in one group. Certain of these stepping transitions exist in one group, while they don't in the other, and I'll show you an example of that in one moment. Relatedness also plays a part. You can see here that these MPs came up together, as well as our haploembia asexual species. This is support for our alternative hypothesis. Here is the example of one such diagnostic transition. The circles indicate the probability of this transition happening. And we can see that this transition, which is dorsal reach the same, means she repeats the step rather than going from this step to somewhere else adjacent or something. This step is more commonly expressed in our arboreal embeds and seems to be characteristic of them. To switch gears a bit, these circles now represent the diversity of stepping positions taken rather than the transitions. It's the same ordination, but we used a Simpson's diversity index and we substituted steps for species in order to obtain a diversity score for each individual. Our arboreal embeds have a significantly higher diversity on average. In fact, it's almost twice that of the concealed embeds. Here are 2 kinematic diagrams to illustrate this point. On the left, we have Apisthonia ceylonica, an arboreal tube-building embed. And you can see she uses a wide range of her spinning behaviors. She goes behind her back, and that allows her to create this frameworking type of structure. In contrast, the embed on the right, Haploembia soliaria asexual, only utilizes 2 of those stepping positions. Her silk does indeed reflect this. She does not build the type of tubing structure that the other does. So to wrap it up, the differences in the spinning behavior may be the trait that has allowed for amoebids to live in these diverse environments and microhabitats. As a consequence of these differing spinning behaviors, we have a diversification of silk structures and ultimately the function of these structures. We have support for both of our hypotheses, out of order, and our method of analysis is showing promise for the expansion of our investigation into the evolution of this little-known order of insects, Embioptera. I'll welcome any questions, and thank you very much.